Think about how Joseph treated his brothers when they came and they bowed down before him. Did Joseph hate his brothers? Or did he love them? What evidence is there that he hated them? What evidence is there that he loved them? What a wonderful story this is. Joseph was a lad of 17 years old when we meet him, and he's given his coat of many colors, just a youth. And then when he was 30 years old, he's brought before Pharaoh, and he is made a king of the whole land. What an amazing thing that is. Do you think it mattered what Joseph's attitude was in those very first days when he was cruelly treated by his brothers? Remember, they threw him into a pit. And we learn in this chapter that Joseph had been crying out to them, but they ignored his cries and they went ahead with their plan. They put him in that pit. And the Midianite merchantmen came and picked him up. And together with the Ishmaelites, they went down into Egypt. And there, all these things happened to Joseph. Were they good things that happened to Joseph, or were they bad things that happened to Joseph? And how did Joseph react to all of that? We realize that from the very first time we see Joseph, that he has a spirit of looking to the Lord, listening to whatever the Lord has to say to him, and being willing to be faithful to the Lord no matter what. So in some ways, it doesn't matter whether the things that happened to him are bad things or whether they're good things, because Joseph trusts that no matter what happens, the Lord is with him and will provide for him. So Joseph is there doing what he saw the Lord's plan was. He had faithfully seen that there would be grain stored up in storehouses in various cities in Egypt so that they would be ready when the famine came. And the famine was severe, and here it is. People would come and they would buy the grain from Joseph. He was the one who dispensed this all. Do we get a little bit of a hint that Joseph is representing the Lord? And that no matter what our circumstances, when we go and look for the things we need for our life, it's really the Lord who dispenses those goods to us. So that's how it is here. Joseph is dispensing these goods. And so, who does he find in front of him? But these 10 men that he hadn't seen for years. They must have looked different all this time that had passed. And do you think Joseph looked different? Joseph looked so different. Did they know who he was? No, they didn't recognize him. He was speaking the tongue of the Egyptians, and there was an interpreter between them. So when they came, Joseph recognized them, and they saw them bow down before him, and he remembered those dreams. Remember, the sheaves would bow down to his sheaf in that dream? The sun, moon, and the 11 stars would bow down to him. Do you remember that dream? And here his brothers are bowing down to him. So Joseph makes himself a stranger to them and speaks harshly to them. Why does he speak harshly? He accuses them and says, "You are spies to search out the nakedness of the land, just like an enemy would to see where there was a weakness, to see where there was vulnerability, to see where they were exposed. You are spies. Was Joseph saying that because he, considering what they had done to him, that he hated them? We can't really conclude that Joseph hated them, not one bit. But somehow Joseph had a sense, no doubt given by the Lord, that it was not time to reveal himself to them. Yes, they bowed down to him, just like in the dreams that he had. But was it a bowing down because they were really humble before him? They weren't really humble. They just pretty well had to bow down to him. That was the custom. And they needed something very desperately from Joseph. They needed grain to be able to take back to their father, to their families. So of course they would bow down to him, but they weren't bowing down even knowing that it was Joseph. So the time was not right for Joseph to reveal himself. So what is the evidence we have that Joseph, instead of hating his brothers, actually loved them? Do you remember that Joseph was listening to them? He listened to them, and what did they say to one another? They said something that was astounding. Years and years ago, they had mistreated Joseph, and they had lied to their father about it. Do you think they forgot the sin that they had sinned? They didn't forget. They knew about it. In fact, they probably thought about it every day. And when they were back at home with their father, the father says, "Why do you look at one another?" They were suffering this terrible famine. Well, they were delaying to do what they needed to do, go down into Egypt. But perhaps they were looking at each other because they knew something that no one else knew, that they had treated their brother so poorly. And this is now what befalls them. And this is what they say right in Joseph's hearing. We heard our brother in his distress, and we didn't listen to him. Joseph has to leave the room. What does he do when he leaves the room? He weeps. He weeps. He loves his brothers. He weeps because he loves them. And weeping is a sign of great love. It's a sign of love grieving. He's grieving. He can't just be a normal brother with his brothers at that moment, can he? He can't just go up and embrace them. It's not time yet. So he weeps. But he comes back to them, and he has this plan to bring his youngest brother, Benjamin, back. And so, as he accuses them of being spies, they say, "We are upright men. We are 12 sons of our father," and they tell the story of their father and their youngest brother and the one who is not, the brother who is not, who is no more. They're actually talking to that brother who is no more because they don't recognize him at all. So Joseph sends them off their way. He keeps Simeon there as a hostage, as a reminder that they must go back and prove themselves to be honest men and bring back Benjamin, their youngest brother. So he gives them their grain that they had purchased with the silver, and he does something else kind of unexpected. He puts the silver back and puts the silver back in each man's sack of grain. And then they begin on their way. And one of them notices it was time to feed their animals, and he saw, "My silver in my sack has been returned to me." And they all shudder with fear. Why would they be afraid? They have this gift, this silver in their bag. They know they have to prove themselves to be honest men with that man, the ruler of Egypt. And if it looks like they've stolen something, well, they would be in terrible trouble. So they're fearful of this gift. And then they go back to their father and they tell the whole thing that happened to their father. And he's obviously upset. Joseph is gone. Now Simeon is gone. And you say that you want to take Benjamin back down to Egypt to prove that you are honest men? They opened up their sacks, all of them, and each one of them saw that their silver was there in their sacks. So this was a frightful thing. And Jacob made it clear, you're not going back with Benjamin. Because if I lose Benjamin too, I'll go to my gray hair, go to my grave with my gray hairs. So sad that would be. What does Reuben do? Reuben tries to convince his father in a rash vow that he would let Benjamin come, and if anything should happen to Benjamin, then you can slay my two sons. Do you think that's going to make Jacob feel any more confident? Not only would he lose Benjamin, and then he's losing his grandsons, and this is all so terrible. That is not a plan that Jacob's going to be happy with. You see, this is all about how the Lord provides for us. How the Lord in his mercy is working within us, causing us to reflect upon the things that happen to us, our experiences, the things we learn, the things that we learn as knowledge, the things we see to be truths. How hard it is to apply those things in our natural lives sometimes. We are sometimes more like spies. We're out for our own advantage. And we don't realize that when we go about our business and we conduct our trade with one another, whether it's trade in the marketplace or whether it's simply in the relationship with other people, we exchange helpfulness, ideas, friendship, that perhaps we're all looking after ourselves. We're really spies. Our humility is not really humbleness, but just something from custom. And when the Lord gives us gifts, like the silver being returned to us, we suddenly are fearful and we're frightened. We grieve over our inadequacies. We see how we have harmed those we love. But we should have the confidence at least to see that if we sense any grief or sense of guilt, that there is still hope for us, as there was for this family, that they someday might be reunited. So in this wonderful story, there's still more to come. But let us remember the Lord's providence. Let's take time occasionally to reflect upon the things in our outer lives to see if they are in harmony or correspondence with our inner life, that we can come to see and appreciate the Lord in his mercy. Amen.